So you're back.
I am. I'm back.
Yeah. How are
back
your flights?
In Texas. Oh, pretty good. So, you know, my girls got a lot of presents from the grandparents, and one of the gifts was kinetic sand.
Excellent.
Sand's pretty heavy.
Yep.
And it was in a container, like four different colors of sand and all the materials.
Yeah.
So we borrowed a piece of luggage from my mother-in-law, and we took it as a carry-on. So it, you know, the whole luggage was small enough. We sent it through TSA, and they checked it, and they said, "We need to look at this." So she got to the bottom and she found the sand and she pulled the sand out. She's very slowly opening the container. And I said, "It's just sand. It's just kinetic sand." And she said, "Well, it's the same color as explosives."
Color, texture. Yeah.
Yep. So she said, "Do you mind if we test this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. It's just sand."
Go
so,
nuts.
Yep. They brought over another TSA agent and they checked it. And turns out it was just sand. It was not explosives.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you were not carrying explosives onto the plane. We shouldn't laugh about that. It's not funny. But kinetic sand is funny.
Right.
Explosives are not funny. That's the key.
Yeah.
All right. Well, welcome back to another episode in a brand new year. Our first official recording session in 2022. This is Pastor David Bowser. And with me for the first time on the podcast is
Carrie Kessler.
There we go. Okay, Carrie, I'm glad to have you with me. So Patrick is out sick today. He's down for the count for now, but is on the mend. And Elise had a family commitment come up, so Carrie is stepping up to bat to fill in for us. Always the team player, willing to jump in and do whatever is necessary.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, that's very gracious of you to say. We all know it's not completely true, but it's very gracious of you to say nonetheless. No, we're thrilled to have Carrie with us. Carrie is our director of children's faith for just over a year now. You just had your first anniversary. That was very exciting.
Right before Christmas.
Yeah, your entire ministry has been in COVID.
Yes.
So it's like we talk about doing things differently. You're like, "I don't know. This is the only thing I've ever known. What am I supposed to do?"
I love a good challenge.
There you go. So Carrie and I are going to have some fun. We're going to talk. We're going to do a little Q&A later on. We're going to talk more about what that is going to look like. But first, I've got a news story for us.
All right.
All right. So this actually is from back in October, but I was kind of busy back in October and November and December. So I just caught up on this now. Merriam-Webster added some words to the dictionary. They do this periodically. There are like 400 and something words that they added. And I've got a couple of my favorites. And I want to see if you know what they are and if you think they should be a real word or not.
All right.
All right. The first one, a fluffernutter.
A fluffernutter.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a sandwich with marshmallow and peanut butter?
It is. Yeah. And I think banana too, though banana might be an optional addition to the fluffernutter. I'm not 100% sure on that one. But yeah, that just became an official word. So you can now look up fluffernutter. All right. This is another fun one. Dad bod.
Yes. I've heard of that. I mean, I guess it sure beats, you know, a whole sentence explaining what dad bod is.
Yeah. Yeah. The generally fit looking, but not actually in shape body of the average adult male.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I like efficiency.
Yeah. Sure. Dad bod. Just short. Oh, if you like efficiency, you'll like this one too. Ready? This is one word. A-M-I-R-I-T-E. Am I right?
One's a little silly.
So no longer do we have to say, am I right? We can just say, am I right? TBH. Also became an official word, which is short for "to be honest."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't get all those.
Yeah. All the there's a word for those. That's not emojis. That's not right.
the texting acronyms.
Yeah, acronyms. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, TBH, LOL. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Those are the ones I don't even use. TBH, I use LOL, and that's about it.
I frequently have to ask my girls what they stand for.
Yeah, it's not good when you have to ask your 10-year-old what things mean.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Your 10-year-old might know this one though. Oobleck. Do you know oobleck?
Yes. We make that in Girl Scouts.
Yeah. The doctor. It's officially a word now.
Yeah.
It's just been in Dr. Seuss books forever, but now it's actually a word. So if you're not familiar, listeners, oobleck, a great toy with cornstarch and water.
Yep.
Where it's a liquid if you're not touching it, but as soon as you touch it, it becomes a solid. It's crazy. Science is awesome.
and it gets everywhere.
It does get everywhere. It's a huge mess. Do it outside. Put green food coloring in it. It looks super fun. But otherwise, yeah, those are some of our fun words. There's also a word that I read the definition like 3 or 4 times and I still don't know what it means, but the word was teraflop. And I'm sure that I could not use it correctly because it's something to do with like the speed of computers, but I want to be able to use teraflop in a sentence.
I'm sure you'll be able to.
Yeah. I think my new goal is to preach a sermon with
get
teraflop.
Get that in there. That's
teraflop.
Right.
The teraflop of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, that's enough of that. Maybe we can use that like as a baptismal liturgy. We're like,
sure,
we're going to teraflop into the baptismal water instead of
you might just have some kids teraflopping.
We might, yeah. There, I think we just make up our own definitions. This is how words get into use, right? We just
use
them their own way. Yeah, teraflop. Anywho, all right. So children's faith.
Yes.
We want to talk about kids. We want to talk about big, amazing things that Children's Faith has going on this year. So why don't we start, just tell us a little bit about some stuff that you're excited about for Children's Ministries at Lord of Life.
Sounds good. I'm excited about continuing our Sunday school in Club 5-6.
Nice.
You know, a lot of churches right now I've heard are maybe stopping their Sunday school program or having them outside. And we're pressing ahead, you know. Mm-hmm. We have a good group of kids in both Sunday school and Club 5-6, and we want to continue the ministry. I have amazing leaders, and I'm always looking for more.
Yep.
But, you know, we have some...
There's a nice little tag there.
I know, right?
In case you're out there listening, thinking, what am I going to do on my Sunday mornings?
That's right.
Carrie has a job
Call
for
me.
You. Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, and you know, we just have some fun stuff coming up, and we always try to link our lessons with what's happening in worship, and that way it helps the kids understand what's going on. And we want to incorporate music more, and we're going to start with VBS songs.
Oh,
it's coming up. Yeah, I'm excited about that too. It's happening the first week of June.
Okay.
We bumped it up a few weeks. So
nice
right after school's out.
Just jump right into
That's right.
Here we go.
That's right. And, you know, we've been going with one company. We switched to a different one. So we have all the programming now. And so we're going to start planning.
It's a brand new adventure.
Yeah, it is.
What's our theme for Vacation Bible School?
Ooh, you know, I haven't announced that yet.
Oh. Well,
we have a plan.
Do you want to break it on the podcast? No. Okay. We don't. We don't want to do that.
I can't.
Okay.
Because I have a plan.
Off air, you got to remind me what it is because I genuinely forget.
I will. What else? Oh yes, family camp. So we love family camp. Last year that cold snap happened and we had to reschedule.
And still had a great time.
We did.
Perhaps even a better time.
We did.
Not because we lost certain people due to the cold snap. That was unfortunate.
That was.
But we discovered that there's a whole season of the year where you can go to camp and it's not dark all the time.
That's right. And so we did that this year and it's the first weekend of April.
All right.
You know, it's no April Fool's joke.
It really
family
is.
Camp
family
is
camp
happening.
Really is happening. All
that's right. So we're excited for that.
Yeah, get ready for all those jokes month long.
That's
it's
right.
Great.
So yep, those are the big things coming up.
Excellent. That's super exciting. So when you think about Children's Faith, you know, because you and I have had a lot of these conversations, but most people do not just get to hang out in our office and listen to the craziness that is working at Lord of Life.
It is crazy.
So what for you is important about Children's Faith? Like if you're talking to a parent and they're like, I don't know, you know, we're busy on Sunday mornings or I've got other things to do. Why would you say your kid needs to be a part of Children's Faith formation at Lord of Life?
I think because it's not just one time. It's not just coming to Sunday school once or coming to church once. It's every week.
Yeah.
It's being present every time. And you might be tired and maybe your kids are tired and you just came back from a big trip, but it's being there. And it's kind of, for me, it's always been resetting myself. You know, I feel like that's what worship does for me every Sunday. And being with your friends, you know, there's some kids out there that haven't had that much. And with school and the craziness, it's just, it's being there and forming those bonds and friendships. And this will last them their whole life.
Yeah.
You can't just expect them to, you know, when they're 15 or 20 to want to come to church or Sunday school and start learning.
Yep.
It's continuous.
I love that. There's a guy, I think his name was Rich Milheim. I know there is a guy named Rich Milheim. I think this is the person who said it. But he used to talk about how we want to invite people back to a place they've never been. And so we raise up kids who don't actually know how to exist within a church community and expect them to come back to church when they're adults.
Right.
But they've never actually been there. They don't know what that is. And so I love this idea that you're like, no, we want to make this a home for them so that when they come back to church, they're coming home, right? They're coming to a place that's familiar, that they know that it, that is meaningful and centered for them. That's really powerful. I love that. I also love this notion of you're training them up for something that will last them for the rest of their life. I'm a big fan of professional sports in general, but you might know not a lot of people actually play in professional sports, right?
There are not many,
right? You know, if you take the number of people who are actually like in the NFL as a player and have a even just a week long career, let alone a meaningful career, versus the number of kids playing Pee Wee football right now, right? The percentages are minuscule at best. But guess what? Hopefully all your kids are going to grow up to be adults who have to exist in the world, who have to figure out how to like care for other people and care for themselves and exist in a world of grief and pain and hardship and joy and all of that stuff. And I think we better equip people to live in that world.
We do. And, you know, I think there's a place for sports. There's a place for all the extracurriculars and scouting and, you know, the team sports teach a lot too. So you just have to find a way to balance it all to make time for it.
Yeah.
It's important.
Yeah. I want to be clear. I played sports as a kid, right? That's meaningful stuff. I love that.
I tried.
But where are we putting our priorities? You tried? That sounds like there's a good story behind this.
Yeah. I'm not too big on basketball.
Was that your sport of choice?
In middle school for 2 years. Okay. And the only game that they
won. Made the team 2 years.
Well, sure. There was no cutting.
Oh, okay.
But the only game they won was the one I wasn't there.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. I don't think I was meant for basketball.
Okay.
My sister was, not me.
Yeah. We will not put up a hoop near your office. Or maybe will, and we'll let you practice. Yeah. Maybe that's what you should do. Okay. So we're going to get into our next topic, because we could talk about children's faith all day, but we're here to talk more about than just that. I think, we'll see, this might become like a recurring little series, not just you and me doing this. But
we know Rick wants in here.
Yeah, Rick does want in here. But like, you know, bring people in and just having some questions, times to just ask whatever question we've been thinking about. It's like, hey, I've always wanted to ask Carrie this. I've always wanted to ask Pastor David this, or whoever it is that's in the episode with us. And we're just going to have some conversation about it. And some of the questions will be funny. Some of them will be serious. Some of them might be deeply meaningful. Some of them probably won't be. And we're just going to see how it goes. And hopefully this will be an opportunity for other people to think about, how do we enter into these conversations of life and of faith and of all the stuff that's going on in our own world. It doesn't always have to be this intentional thing of, oh, we're going to sit down and we're going to record a podcast about your faith, right? It doesn't have to be that serious. It can just be lighthearted and fun, and you can get to know people and have really powerful experiences that come out of that. So that's what we're going to try.
Yeah, sounds good.
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go? We've both got our list of questions. Some of them are secrets from the others, so we're hiding them from each other appropriately here. But do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
All right. Lay it on me.
I'll start with an easy one, because some of the questions I came up with are kind of deep, kind of like Debbie Downer.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It's still a little early in the morning, so we got to ease into it.
All right. So what's the best part of your job? I mean, aside from working with your amazing staff.
Right. I have an incredible children's faith formation director who I cannot help but work with her. The best part of my job. I love doing baptisms.
Yeah.
I think baptisms are probably my favorite thing. Worship is great. I love preaching. I love teaching. All that stuff is fabulous. But one, I really love little kids, and we typically baptize kids as infants. So any chance that I get to like hang out and hold a baby and talk to parents about babies is always fun. I just enjoy that. But it's just such a great expression of how God is at work in our world. It's such a powerful reminder for me that like, hey, this little kid who can't do anything for themselves is being lavished with God's love and grace just because God loves them. And that's exactly the same thing that God is doing for me. Even when I am a terrible human being, even when I am screwing it up and doing it all wrong, God is still pouring out love upon me. And so, yeah, I think baptisms are my favorite part of the job.
That's great. It's a fresh start.
Yeah, it is. It's a fresh start. And adult baptisms are super cool too. It's just a different flavor. And so I think that's just always exciting when people have that moment where they're getting to experience God in a new way, uniquely in baptisms. Yeah, I'll go with that.
And it just so happens that this Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It's Baptism Sunday.
Yeah, tragically, this episode will come out after that.
Oh, darn.
So close. But yeah, if you missed it, you can go back and watch yesterday's worship service. That'll have just taken place. And yeah, you can remember. We do it the second Sunday of every month. We do our affirmation of baptism, which is also super fun. So you can always come do that. Sophia is very excited. She will have gotten to light a candle.
Yeah.
She didn't miss it last year. I don't know. Somehow it was a big deal last year that she was finally going to be like able to light the candle.
I think that's because William was baptized.
He was. And so now I'm trying to remember if we did the affirmation. I don't know. Because sometimes when we have a baptism on, we don't do this. Anyway, doesn't matter. This is all no longer interesting podcasting. But it's going to be fun. William and Sophia have the same baptism birthday, which is super fun. And my niece, Sophia's cousin, is going to be baptized this Sunday too.
That's great.
Yeah. All the water for everybody. All right. I got one for you.
All right.
I'm not starting as easy because I'm meaner than you are. what is your earliest memory of church?
Oh, my earliest memory of church. So if you didn't know, I was not always Lutheran.
What?
Started as a Catholic.
This did not come up in the interview process. We're going to have to address this. I'm just kidding. This did come up in the interview process. Yes. She was hired in spite of it. I mean,
I have that Catholic guilt in me. Mm-hmm. So I think my earliest memory was Sunday morning catechism. Sitting in the pew, you know, we had a big open church and we didn't have that many Sunday school rooms. So everyone was just broken up into their age group and sitting in the pew with my little catechism book, studying, memorizing, going through.
What age are we thinking here?
I want to say it was probably first grade.
So like first grade, your Sunday school class was sitting in a pew reading the catechism and memorizing it.
Yes, that was Sunday school for me.
Oof. To anyone out there who's thinking, Sunday school just doesn't have enough excitement for my kids. Well, look at the alternative.
That's right.
what we could be doing.
I don't know. Maybe we could try it someday.
Yeah. Wow. That's so. Yeah. What was that experience like for you? Like, do you remember enjoying that or like?
it's just what we did, yeah. You know, I was with my friends. Yeah. And it honestly, to me, it was a special time because, you know, you were in the sanctuary.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And it wasn't during a service.
Okay.
And it was leading up to my first Holy Communion. So, mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a neat time.
Okay.
It was, you know, the pressure was on to memorize everything. Yeah. But
who did you have to, like, do the memorization in front of?
I don't remember that part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there a nun?
No, we didn't have a nun there.
Oh.
Yeah, just the priest.
I was imagining, like, Sister Act taking place in your childhood church.
No, that's not even bad. Close.
All of my understanding of the Catholic Church comes from movies.
Yes. So.
Such is life. All right, what do you got for me?
All right, let's see. Okay, so how about a boring fact?
All right, a boring fact.
Yeah, not an exciting fact. Like,
oh, just a boring fact.
Boring fact.
About me? Or yeah. Just a boring fact that I know? Because I know
a boring fact about you.
About
like
me, okay.
You wet your toothbrush before you put your toothpaste on.
Well, yeah, doesn't everybody wet their toothbrush before they put their toothpaste
on? I do. Not always.
Is this not a universal thing? How do you brush your teeth without wetting the toothbrush first?
I know.
The water on the toothbrush is what makes the toothpaste work.
That's right.
What crazy person do you know? Rat them out right here.
I don't know.
All right, fine.
I generally don't talk to people about their toothbrush habits, but...
Okay, fair enough. Boring fact about me. Typically, and this is not like surprising for the podcast listeners, but typically I don't really care for a lot of like dressings or sauces or things like that. Like I'm growing into it as an adult. I will have a dressing on a salad, but it's like, I don't like ranch. Everybody's always amazed. Wow. Like, how do you not like ranch? Yeah. I just don't like ranch. Oh, I don't like coffee. Like, there are a lot of things where people are like, how do you exist in the world without liking coffee?
I know. I find that strange.
It's not like an anti-caffeine thing or anything like that. It's just like, I really don't like the taste of coffee, but I love the smell of coffee. So, like, if you want to have a meeting in a coffee shop, I am down. I'll hang out in a coffee shop and let you drink your coffee, and I'll sit there with a glass of water, and I'll be just fine.
Sounds good. Staff meeting.
Yeah.
Coffee shop.
There you go. Ooh, all right. I just thought of my boring fact because Amanda ratted me out about this before Christmas. And so I'll share this with the world. At my internship site, everybody had coffee and they had reusable mugs. And so everybody would walk around with their mugs and they'd get reusable and they'd fill up their coffee and drink and then they'd get washed after service.
Did you fill yours with water?
I did. I had a reusable mug that I would take out and I'd fill it with water and I'd walk around and drink. Because otherwise everybody's like, where's your coffee? And I'd have to go like every week.
We're
like,
it.
I don't really like coffee. And like, why don't, have you tried this coffee? And it's like, yes, I've tried this. I've tried coffee. It doesn't matter what coffee it is. I don't like coffee. Yeah. So I used to walk around with a coffee mug filled with water just so people would stop talking to me about coffee.
The peer pressure.
Right. Some people hide booze in their coffee mugs. I'm just hiding water. So, yeah. You know, of the alternatives, I felt like it was a safe choice. All right. Let's see. Well, here's one for you. Would you rather be up early in the morning or stay up late at night?
Oh, totally up early.
No.
I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
I mean, many times I'm in my PJs before my girls are in their PJs at night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You're like home from work at 3 p.m. Let's hit the sack, kids. Let's go.
Not that early, but I like a good sleep.
Sure. I can dig that. But you'd like to get up early?
Yes.
So you're one that like sets the alarm at like 4:30, jumps out of bed and starts vacuuming? Is that your jam?
I would love to do that. No, not that early, but okay. I'm definitely a morning person, early riser.
Are you always that way or is that a military training thing?
I think I've always been that way.
Always? Yeah. I have this vicious thing about myself where I really love to stay up late, but I feel like I'm missing things if I sleep in too long.
FOMO.
Yeah, it ends in a lot of sleepless or sleep-filled days. Anyway.
All right, let's see. So here's kind of a deep one.
All right, I like it.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time where you felt that God was not there, that you were alone, that he was totally absent from your life?
Yeah, I think we all go through those moments. I think as a pastor in particular, I've had the opportunity to look back and reflect and see the places where God was still present, right? So even though at the moment I was like, oh, wow, I'm feeling completely lost, abandoned, whatever, I can look back now and see how that wasn't true. And so it's harder for me to look back and like pinpoint those moments. But when I was in sixth grade, my aunt died pretty suddenly of cancer, and that was really hard for me. My grandma had been fighting the same kind of cancer for a while, and she lived for another couple of years after that. And so I couldn't understand why my aunt, who was in, no offense to my grandmother, far better physical health than my grandmother was, right? Yeah, she's a lot younger. She was the reason that I got into cycling. She was just an incredible person. They always used to come over and stay at our house at Christmas time. That was like the tradition was they would come and sleep in our basement. So I was just really close to Aunt Laura. And so in sixth grade, I think that was a really hard time for me where... At the moment, if someone had asked me, you know, do you feel God or do you feel like connected to God, I probably would have said no. Probably like, I don't even know what that means. And part of that's being in sixth grade.
Yeah, that's a lot at that age.
Yeah, and just dealing with grief and figuring out what that was like. It was really hard. There's also a period in college. I went through not a nasty relationship, but just a relationship that ended poorly, right? You know, we all have those.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, the relationship ended poorly in such a way that I felt particularly lost and just confused and didn't know what was coming next. And weirdly, I knew that I was still going to be like pursuing this path towards ministry. Like I knew that that was still what I was going to mm-hmm. be doing, but I was very disconnected from my faith for, I don't know, 6-8 months probably in that period of time. And, yeah. you know, even in that period of time, I was applying to become a camp counselor and I was, you know, taking my religion classes and doing all this stuff that I was supposed to be doing, but it didn't have that connection. It didn't have that meaning behind it. It was all like, well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing because I want to go into this career.
Right.
And in some ways, I guess that's good because the habit, you know, keeps pushing you through.
It was good. You kept
yeah.
with it.
And yeah, yeah. But it was hard. And it's one of those things where you don't talk about it in the moment, right? Because if you're, at least this was my theory at the time, if you're becoming a pastor, if you want to become a pastor, if you want to work at a camp as a camp, this was a Christian summer camp. That's mm-hmm. probably an important piece of the story. If you want to be a Christian camp, summer camp counselor, you don't talk about not feeling faith. Right. You don't share with people right. like, I really don't feel close to God right now. You don't say that when you're trying to go into ministry. Like nobody wants to hear that.
That's right.
Except it's true. And I think we need to be more honest about that. And it's easy for me to say that now because, you know, right now I feel very connected to God. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to be more honest about those places where we don't feel connected in part so that other people can encourage us and support us in that. And in part so that other people see the honesty of that and mm-hmm. see the vulnerability of saying, I don't feel connected to God. I mean, read the Psalms. There are so many places in the Psalms where you read David or the other authors of the Psalms saying, like, I don't know where God is. I don't know what's happening. Like, I know you're supposed to be here, but I don't know where you are, God. I don't know what's going on. So this is not like we're alone in this experience, but we think that we're alone in this experience. We think that right. we're unique and we're the only ones who've ever felt abandoned by God. And that's part of our human condition as well as to aggrandize our own experience into yeah. the worst thing that's ever possibly happened.
You take it all on yourself.
Yeah, you do. You do take it on yourself. And it's not an example that you want to set for other people. And so in some ways, you know, I guess that's the role that I have now as a pastor is being honest about those places and those times when I am struggling. Because even as a pastor now, there are times when I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this, God.
Really? Because you never show that.
Right. Well, and that's part of the problem, right? Maybe I should be better about that. Maybe I should be better about being honest and saying, I'm not feeling it today, right? You know, there are plenty of Sundays where I get up and I'm not feeling it. I'm believing that it's true because I know that I have to, but I'm just not
I've always wondered
it.
That, yeah. you know, because, you know, you got to be on your A game
yeah.
every Sunday.
Yeah. yeah.
You're it.
I'm a game day player, you know. There's a really funny old, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about Tiger Woods because I know he kind of fell out of favor with the world. But
sure.
We're going to talk about Tiger Woods. When he first became big and like was winning a couple championships and stuff like that, he got a Buick endorsement and he did a commercial where he was training people to do or to be like Tiger Woods. And one of the quotes was like how to give a good press conference after a bad game. And it was people looking at the board saying, I did not have my A game today. And then they have to repeat that after him. It's really fun. But yeah, I mean, you do have to, in ministry, you have to put on a certain, I don't want to say face, that sounds fake, and it's not a face, but you have to put on an impression for people, because in some ways, as a pastor, you're carrying a load for other people, right?
Right.
And so, you know, kind of like a doctor in some ways, right? You don't want the doctor to walk in and be like, you know what, I'm just,
I'm
not really feeling it. I don't know if this is going to work or not. I just had 5 other patients with the yep. same problem and they all died. So I don't know. Like,
right.
what are you going to do? Like, that's not the doctor you want. You want the doctor who's going to come yeah. in and be like, yeah, this is going to be great. We're going to try these things. We're going to, you know, you want that, even if it's a little bit false, you want that positive experience. You want that experience of confidence and of assurance. And so there's a certain amount of projection that you have to do in ministry for the good of the people around you. But you have to balance that with honesty and with vulnerability. And yeah, there are probably places where I don't do that well enough, but I try. One of the rules we used to have as a camp counselor, because we did these things called faith stories, and you would always share your faith story first so that you could encourage kids in how to share their faith story, just a moment when you experienced God in your life or whatever that was. And our rule for the counselors was always like, if you cannot tell this story without crying, you should not tell this story to middle schoolers, right?
I would fail. That's why I was never a camp counselor.
Well, I mean, There are like, that was the point. It's like, you don't have to tell the thing that's so raw that you can't get through it without crying.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and some people are just criers, and you know, we talk through that, and that's fine. But you know, they're also like happy stories. And if you want to tell happy stories about how the problem with the faith stories is that they often became like, okay, which middle schooler has this most tragic life that they want to talk about right now? And that's not the point either. The point is, how do we experience God? And so that's something that I try to do with my preaching, with my teaching, right, is to share those places that I can speak about from a place of honesty without being in the thick of it, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know that people want to walk in on Sunday morning and hear from their pastor, tell you what, I am in the pit this morning and nothing's good and all of you are terrible and we're all, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's nothing if it's good, right? People don't want to hear that.
Right. And honestly, people, you know, it's good to hear someone else's story, but they have their own stuff going on.
Right.
And if it's too much of the other person,
exactly,
they'll just get lost.
Exactly. So it's all about sharing that vulnerability in a way that allows them to enter into their own story as well. Right. And I can, this is my experience, I can do that better for the situations that I'm more removed from. Some people can speak about the stuff that they're in the midst of it, and it's very powerful. That's not my particular pattern or gift.
Yeah.
But there are those times, and they still happen. And they happen to all of us, and we should be honest about that.
We should be.
Yeah. All right. Enough of that. On to something funny.
Nothing too deep.
Let's see. Oh, do you have a go-to Bible verse, story, or book? Like when, for whatever moment, you're just like, oh, that's the one I always go to. Yeah.
I think I focus a lot on strength.
Okay.
I mean, we saw it last year with family camp. Mm-hmm. I was just adamant about, you know, sticking with strength.
You were. You're going to have to come up with a new theme this year.
Yeah. I know. And if any of our viewers have any theme ideas, let me know.
Do we have viewers? Are people watching this?
Listeners.
There we go. Okay. We do have listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. I think anything on strength, Isaiah. It's just knowing that, you know, we live in a fallen world and bad things are going to happen. That's our reality. And so instead of asking God a lot of times to stop something or to change something, I just have to say, you know, pray for my strength or someone else's strength to get through it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen. And in the world we live in today, people need strength.
Yeah. I love that. That's a powerful witness.
Yeah.
Yeah. We often don't want to have to be strong. We just want the thing to go away.
Yeah. That'd be a lot easier.
Yeah, it would be. But then you're also weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, because you grow through it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I like a good challenge, and I think it drives us sometimes, you know, get your adrenaline going, and you learn through it and make changes for the next time. So if you face it again, maybe it doesn't seem so much like a challenge.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for strength.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. Oh, let's see. I asked you about the best part of being a pastor.
Oh,
What's your least favorite?
Oh, you know, there are a lot of things that I say, I didn't go to seminary for this, and a lot of them are part of my job. And so I'd say, like, if there's the part of the job that I find the least exciting, it would be talking about money.
Yeah.
Or talking about finances, right? Stewardship, helping people be generous. I'm all over that. That's great. But like the aspect of, okay, we brought in $85,000 this month and we need to spend $90,000. And this month, the investment account brought in this many percentages of what, like, I'm just, oh goodness, that's not fun. It's not fun for me. And I know it's important and I value it and I'm deeply grateful for the people who are good at it.
So is it about making decisions about the money or just hearing about the money?
Mostly hearing about the money. Yeah.
Like, does it stress you out when you feel like we're not, you know, bringing in enough?
Yeah. You know, I think I'm still pretty new in the naivete about that. So I'm not sure I can speak to whether or not it stresses me out when we're not bringing in enough. Because, you know, everything has been so different, especially since I stepped into the senior pastor position, right? We're all kind of sifting through, like, where do we actually sit and what's this going to look like? So I've not experienced that, like, deep stress about it. But just typically, I don't know. I just get lost in the numbers. I mean, like, they're talking about it. I was like, I know this is important and I'm doing my best to listen, but I'm like, I've read the thing. I know what the thing says. Yeah. Let's keep going.
That's why we have good finance people.
We have wonderful finance people for whom I am deeply grateful. And I do want to say, I know that finances are important. I take those conversations very seriously. I do not glaze over during them. But if there's a part of my job that I am least excited about, it's probably that. That, and there is a tendency within church people to bring out our worst selves within the church because we know the church will always love us. right? You know, we know every week Pastor David gets up there and says, God loves me no matter what. So I know I can come in here and let out all the junk that I hide from everybody else. And I can let it out here because the church is going to keep loving me. And I'm all for that. I want people to know that this is a safe place to let out whatever you need to let out. But that can be, it can be tough because we let out our worst selves with one another.
Yeah.
And that often makes the church a place that other people don't necessarily want to be a part of because we're all
True.
Letting out our worst selves. Now, I will say, I feel very fortunate that the congregations I have served mostly keep that at bay, right? We all have mm-hmm. an Uncle Frank, right? We all have an Uncle Frank who comes to the dinner and we're like, oh man, here comes Uncle Frank, right? Every congregation has that. The congregations I've been very fortunate to serve, healthy congregations that want to have good relationships and have good leaders, not just in their pastoral leadership, but within their lay leaders, people who are just going to set a good example in how they're doing things.
Yeah.
And so I have not had to deal with that as much, but when we do, it's a tough one too.
Yeah. We all have our moments.
Yeah. So people acting badly and finances. Those are my least favorite things.
You know, if you kind of look at it though, you know, when your kids come home from school
mm-hmm.
and they just
yep.
let it all go because they've been holding it together all day. And I never realized how important that was to mm-hmm. just, you know, if they're going to act out a bit, that's okay. They're yeah. going to throw a fit. You know, they've had a tough day keeping it all together. Yeah. And so
also my least favorite part of the parenting day, just so I'm consistent here, right?
That's right. But that's their safe place.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, yep. you know, maybe the church is their safe place.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully their safe place.
Yeah.
You know, I actually had a dad say to me once, hey, can my kids stay for a little bit after the program? I'm not going to get there in time. I know there's going to be a lot of people around and I know my child is safe there.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it just made me feel good because they're involved and they're around people that they trust. So feel good.
Yeah. Church should be a safe place.
Yeah.
And I want people to be safe in church. I also want people to keep their attitude in check. Anyway, maybe I'm asking too much. That's maybe I just need strength to get through it.
There you go. I'll pray for you.
Yeah. Do pray for me regardless. All right. Let's see. Who was someone that impacted your faith as a kid? So let's say before you graduated high school, who was another person that impacted your faith?
I would say my grandparents. You know, they were Catholic
mm-hmm.
and, you know, consistent. They were there every Sunday, involved. You know, they were a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at some of our, you know, older members of our congregation and I think it's too just being away from family, but I always look to them as, you know, hope and mm-hmm. and guidance because they're here, they're committed
mm-hmm.
and you know, good people.
Yeah.
And it was neat. You know, I would come home on leave, sometimes from the military. Mm-hmm. I'd have my uniform with me and I would wear it to Sunday service. And my grandmother loved it because, she, you know, showing off her granddaughter.
Yeah, sure.
But it was just, it was neat to be a part of that and know that it was there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Are your grandparents still alive or have they passed on?
They are not.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
They both passed away years ago.
Okay.
Miss them.
Yeah. Did your kids ever get to know them?
No.
Yeah.
No. They passed away before both my girls were born. So, but their memories live on and tell stories all the time because, you know, you become your parent, right?
Right.
No matter if you like it or not.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I see so much of my grandmother and my mom, and I like to point those things out to my girls every time I see it. So,
yeah.
That's great.
Do you see yourself in your mom or your mom in
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Love it.
How do your kids? Oh, you love, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
There are a lot of things about, I love my parents also. I should say that because I happen to listen to the podcast. I love my parents deeply. There are also things that I see myself doing now. I'm like, oh God, I'm my dad. For better or worse, here it is. We're all the way in. Oh, I was looking up her question, but it's your turn.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, what do you got?
Let's see. What's your biggest pet peeve? I'd have a tough one with this because unfortunately
I've got a long list.
Something I got to work on.
My biggest pet peeve. All right. So when you say biggest pet peeve, are we talking like in the context of ministry? Are we talking in the world in general?
Just in your life.
Driving slow in the fast lane.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one.
If the speed limit is 70 and you're doing anything less than 72 in the fast lane, you should not be in the fast lane. That's not what the fast lane is for.
That's right.
The left lane is for people who are going 70 to 75.
Yeah. I would like to think if there were laws
here. Which I'm aware is speeding. I know that. I understand. But still.
I hope no cops are listening to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Please don't arrest me for... I don't think you can arrest me for talking about speeding. That's not a crime, is it? I don't know. Give me a ticket.
Yeah. I think, well, see, in Pennsylvania, there's a law that you have to move over. Mm-hmm. The left lane is only for passing.
Right.
That doesn't stop people from driving in
it. Sure.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. And then sometimes I do like to be the person who stops people from like running up in the left lane on like a construction zone or something like that. Sometimes I like to do that. Though I did, I learned a thing because, yeah, you know, I'm open to learning new things. Mm-hmm. This is important. Where they've done studies and it's actually faster for traffic if you use both lanes and people like zipper it. So you, you merge at the last minute rather than everybody getting over a mile and a half early.
And people in Gosling still have not caught on to that.
Well, it's because for years we've been told get over as soon as you can. It takes a long time to break habits and patterns.
No, I'm a right lane.
You zip along in the...
Mm-hmm. I sure do.
I'm going to zipper in there at the last minute. If everybody zippers, then it's fine. But it's when just you zipper, then you look like the jerk who's like driving past everybody else who's being patient and you just have to get there fast. I'm like, no, I'm trying to make this better for everybody.
I'm doing it the right way and you're all wrong.
I'm doing it for you. You people. Oh my goodness. See, again, people are the worst. No, I'm kidding. Yep. People are not the worst.
People are the best.
People are sinners in need of a loving savior who we have in Jesus.
That's right.
That's what we have. I think we're ready. Are we ready for a serious question for you? I think we need a serious question for you.
Ready.
All right. So in the last year, 2021, so not necessarily like to this date, but just all of 2021, what was an unexpected way that you experienced God?
Hmm. You know, we work very hard here at our programming.
We do.
Countless hours and so much thought and dedication. And I'm not talking about myself in particular.
Yeah, just in general. Yeah.
I see it with everyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you pour your heart into something and you want to see it come to fruition, right? Mm-hmm. And getting ready for Sunday school and Club 5-6 and getting back in person every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was a big leap going from where we were. And, you know, I put the call out in the happening saying, hey, if anyone wants to teach, let me know. And I actually had people respond.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it wasn't me having to make the initial calls. Mm-hmm. I mean, although I called lots of people and, you know, but just having someone tell me, yes, I absolutely want to do this and I want to do it every week.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I could not have done that by myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that the right people showed up at the right time. And these other little moments and you always laugh at me. You're like, oh, that was a Holy Spirit moment, you know, where there was no intention of me talking about the same thing you were talking about in worship.
Mm-hmm.
It just all came together and, it just fills me so much and it pushes me one step farther.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that all this work I'm doing, it's being recognized as something good that people need it. And I know God is there.
Yeah.
And I know he's helping push it forward.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a great story from the book of Judges. I think it's Gideon, but I haven't read it for a while. So I'd have to go back and look on that for sure. But essentially they have an army and God's like, no, you got too many people. Have them drink from the water. And everybody who, you know, pick up the water in their hands versus everybody who puts their face right in the river, get rid of half of them, right? And they're like, okay, so they do that and they get rid of whatever, half the army. And God's like, no, you still got too many people. And so they go through another thing. And God's finally like, no, you still got too many people. And so they've only got like, I don't remember the number, let's say less than 100 men. And they're in this army. And the whole point is God wants the Israelites to know, like, you're not going to win this battle. I'm going to win this battle. It doesn't matter how many men or women or whatever you have fighting this. I'm on your side. I'm the one who's going to fight this for you. And that's what your story reminds me of. Because, you know, it's not going to matter how many phone calls you make. It doesn't matter. You should make phone calls. Yeah. But, you know, it doesn't matter how many phone calls we're going to make, how much planning we're going to do. God is the one who's going to make these things successful. God is the one who's going to carry that forward. And I think that's a valuable thing for us. And so I love that you're seeing God in that way and experiencing God in a new way.
Yeah. And I know we can't not do things.
Right.
I mean, I can't just sit in my office and twiddle my thumbs and think,
wait for God to show
up. Hey, yeah, I'm waiting for that phone call. Yeah. No, it doesn't happen like that.
Right.
But, you know, when I do things and I put them in the right place, I may not think it's the right place, but it is in God's eyes.
Yeah.
So it feels good.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. Let's see.
Let's do maybe one more question each.
Okay.
So pick a good one.
Do you want a silly one or a serious one?
Let's do one more of each.
Okay.
We'll make the silly one last.
All right.
So let's do a deep one and then we'll go back. Yeah.
Okay. So I've always known you as Pastor David.
Sure.
But let's say you never went to seminary.
Oh.
what would you be doing right now?
Oh, Lord. What would I be doing? Like, it's just another career that I would have?
Yeah. Or? Did you ever imagine that?
So when I was little, I wanted to be a lawyer. But then I realized what lawyers actually have to do and that I've really just watched.
They have to work.
Yeah. Well, they have to work and they don't just solve cases in an hour. And, you know, I watched too much Law and Order. That's what it was as a kid. Yeah. And so I don't think I would be a lawyer. I don't think I have it in me to do that. I'm probably a teacher of some sort. Yeah. Both my parents were teachers and I like teaching in a lot of ways. So
I can see that.
You know, I'd like to say something, you know, big and grand, like, I don't know, helping hungry children in Africa or something like that, which it would be totally reasonable, but I think I'd probably be doing something in a local community, working with people and doing something like that.
Good.
Yeah.
Second career.
Yeah, maybe. Retire and become a teacher.
Like you could teach this Sunday.
Maybe I could. You want me to come teach Sunday school? Is this your secret ploy to get me to teach Sunday school?
It is.
All right, one more for you. What do you want your kids to know about God that you didn't know until you were old, until you were an adult?
I think that God is everything.
Mm.
He's not just Sunday school a verse in the Bible, and that he's there through everything.
Yeah.
You know, good and bad, and there's no escaping.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just, well, I was a good person today,
or
I was nice at school, but now I'm mean to my sister, you know? He's there all the time.
Yeah.
Which means your faith needs to be there all the time.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, as a kid, I mean, I didn't think about anything like that.
Yeah.
But just knowing that and how I can use that to shape the children.
Yeah. How did you come to know that as an adult? How did you come to learn that for yourself?
Just reading the Bible.
Okay.
Being present.
Yeah.
Every day. Conversations. Mm-hmm. You know, with my husband and mother-in-law and friends and just being in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, and maybe it's more so over the last year because I don't know. Would I feel the same way if I wasn't here working? I don't know. Because for me, I'm here every day in it.
Yeah.
And for some people, it's just once a week they're thinking about it.
Yeah, we do live in a church bubble for sure. Because we show up every day. We're like, oh yeah, there's the sanctuary. God's still here, right?
Right.
Not everybody gets to work 10 feet away from the altar or whatever that might be.
It's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah. I hope your kids know that, too.
I hope so. All right. Let's see.
Ending on the sillies?
Yep.
I got a good silly one for you.
Best trip you've ever taken?
Best trip I've ever taken?
Yeah.
Can I categorize these or I have to pick one trip?
One trip. How about best trip as an adult?
Oh, best trip as an adult. Yeah. Okay, well, that took out the one I was going to say. best trip as an adult. You know, my wife and my honeymoon was very cool. We went to Jamaica, and that was a lot of fun. But I think the like most meaningful trip that I've had is when I went to Haiti as an adult.
Oh.
I got to go down for about 10 days, I think. I don't remember for sure. But we were there with a program called the Haitian Timon Foundation, which works for kids in Haiti and do all sorts of different stuff. And so we were touring the country, seeing all the different work that they're doing and building relationships with ministry partners to help with future projects and that sort of thing. So it was a very powerful and meaningful trip.
Yeah. I wondered if you were there for some type of recovery operation.
Not on this particular trip. This group, so a group was there when the earthquake happened back in 2010. And so actually the pastor who was leading the trip had been like along with that group and so was sharing that experience because he had had to help get these college or seminary students out of the country and over to the Dominican Republic and, you know, get back to the U.S. and all that stuff. So we were sharing those experiences, but this was just a partner building opportunity to see what was going on and to figure out how we could continue to partner going forward.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. All right. You ready for your last one?
I am.
Okay. If there was one animal that you could pet, ride, or play with, and there was like no threat of them actually injuring you, so it could be any animal, what animal would you want to have or pet or play with? Yeah.
I never thought about this.
Land or sea or air.
Oh.
Yeah. Any animal.
Wow.
No plants.
No plants.
Yeah, no Venus flytraps.
No. I don't want to be eaten. I guess I would have to say like a lion or a cheetah.
Yeah.
You know, a big cat.
I like that. Yeah.
I miss our cat. I miss Kitty.
And a lion would be an interesting choice to replace your kitty.
Sometimes she thought she was a panther.
There you go.
So yeah, I think just having a big cat to,
big cuddly cat.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah,
yeah.
I've kind of always wanted to cuddle up with a grizzly bear.
Oh,
yeah. Or a polar bear.
That would be nice.
A big polar bear.
Yeah, I'd be afraid of being sat on. You know.
Well, but
accidentally.
There's no danger of being hurt. Like the polar bear knows not to sit on you. It's fine. Yeah. This is a hypothetical situation. Yeah. I'm not going to go snuggle a polar bear. But
it's really a question I never thought about before. Yeah.
I'd like to pet a penguin. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. Because
in theory, penguins are feathers.
Really?
But they're birds.
Yeah. I guess. I assume they're kind of slick.
Right. But it's all like the way their feathers and stuff go, I think. I don't know. See, this is what
we'll
I got
to
learn.
Look it up.
We'll have to look it up. Or we'll have to pet one. We'll have to find a penguin and pet it.
Field trip.
Sorry. Excuse me. Are you feathers? Yes. Okay. There we go.
We'll talk to Global Mission, see if we can take a trip.
Yeah, to Antarctica to pet a penguin. We don't have to go to Antarctica. They've got penguins in like the Galapagos. We could go there.
Could go to the zoo.
We don't have to talk to Global Missions to go to the zoo. Come on. All right. Well, hey, that's our episode today. This was fun.
Great.
I had fun. I hope you had fun.
I did. I had fun.
Yeah. Our listeners can't see the look of like, just end this now that I'm getting right now. Like,
my initial reaction.
Fun. Don't push your luck.
It was, of course, I'm extremely terrified of this, but yeah.
No, you did great. I'm honored to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
I will talk to Patrick and Elise. I think we should bring other people on to do things like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this is fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, if you liked this episode or any of our other episodes, you can find all of our podcasts at beyondsundaypodcast.com. And be sure to send us the questions you want us to ask one another at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. And I think Patrick says something else here about thanks for listening or have a nice day.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
There you go.
Have a great day.